Okay, let's get started with Yehoshua, Perek Ches. And we continue with Klal Yisrael trying to capture the various cities across Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and they have already defeated Yericho. They tried to get Ai, but they were turned back. 36 people were killed, or Ya'ir ben Menashe, the Nasi, was killed, and they went back and they started to try to figure out what was wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tips them off that somebody took from the Cherem, and as we know, learned the story last time in Perek Zion, they used the Urim V'Tumim, they used the Goral to determine that it was Achan, and Achan was then ultimately, after having done Vidui, after having confessed, which is one of the sources in Tanakh for Vidui, relating to Tshuva, he was put to death, and that stain on Klal Yisrael was removed. And they set up a Gaal of stones in Emek Achor Ad Hayom Hazeh. So now it's time to try again. They've defeated Yericho, now it's time to go to Ai. Ai is the next battle station. It is west of Yericho, it's right next to Beit El, and they are going to try again. How do they know that it's okay to try again? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells them. Hashem starts off the parak by telling Yehoshua, don't be scared, but it's time to go attack Ai. And Hashem even starts to say some of the strategies that you should use. Hashem says, use an Orev, use a bait, use a way to lure them out of the city. And as we read the parak, that's what happens. Yeshua ben Nun sets up a trap for the people of Ai. He sends a large amount of people to the west of Ai, beyond where they are. Klal Yisrael right now are on the east side of Ai. And what does he do? He takes a group of soldiers and he starts running towards Ai. The people of Ai see and they're like, oh, is these Jews trying to attack us again? They come out, the entire city empties out, and then Yeshua and his army turn around, they start running away, pretending that they have been going to be defeated again. After they lure Ai out, Yehoshua ben Nun picks up his spear, that's the signal, and all of the rest of the warriors from behind Ai come, burn down the entire city, and the people of Ai realize that they are in trouble, they're surrounded, and ultimately they are removed and destroyed. Remember, keep this in the context of, we mentioned this in passing a couple of days ago, and that is Yehoshua ben Nun sent letters to all of the Anshei Eretz Canaan, sent letters to all the people of Canaan, saying, we are Am Yisrael, we are coming in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this land. You can live anywhere else you want in the entire world, but this land is God's chosen land, and if you want to stay here, you have to keep the mitzvos, at least your mitzvos, or, you know, act in servitude to us, because we're taking over the land. So you could either do that, or you could leave, or we'll wage war against you. And the people that are left there obviously said, well, we don't care. We want to wage war against you. So just by being there, that is what their actions dictated. So the people of Ai come out, and they defeat Ai with what we would call Derech HaTeva. Opposite, unlike what happened with Yericho, but this is what happened with Ai. Fine. Towards the end of the parak, after they defeat Ai, and after the king of Ai is killed, then we have seven psukim at the end of the parak, which, as we'll see, according to Chazal, really happened earlier. They go to the mountains near Shechem, Har Grisim and Har Evel, the mountains where we're supposed to have the brachos and the klalos, and Yehoshua ben Nun acts out exactly what the tzivui that he received from Moshe Rabbeinu, what was supposed to be performed by Har Grisim and Har Evel, setting up the stones, writing down the Torah, and finally telling all of Klal Yisrael the Torah. Says the Navi that Yehoshua ben Nun told over to Klal Yisrael the entire Torah, everything that had to be said. Okay, that's the story. Again, this is the parak of Ai. We already had one parak of Ai where they were killed. This is the successful battle of Ai, ending with the story of Har Grisim and Har Evel. Okay, now we go back to the beginning and get into some of the discussions that are related. So, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua, al tirav al teichos, Hashem says to Yehoshua, do not fear, do not be in trepidation. It is fascinating that there is an Isser d'Oraisa. The Sefer HaChinuch counts it. There is an Isser d'Oraisa to be scared in battle. It's one of the mitzvahs that we might ask on, how does Hashem command us not to be scared? Isn't it something natural to be scared in battle? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, just like He commands us about Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and not desiring, right, Losach mode, but also, in a mitzvah, in Parsha Shoftim, Chinuch counts it, Tav Kuf Chaf Hei, Shelo La'arotz Mipnei Ha'oyeba Melchama, It's a separate lo sase, one of the 365. Not to be scared when we're battling for God. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, have faith in me, have trust in me, you're fighting for me, and, you know, not everything's going to be great, that nobody's going to be killed. In battle, people are killed. But trust that you're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenimnanu, shlo laros folofachid min ha'oivim, ba'isa melchama, v'shol nivrach mipneim, aval hachova aleinu, lehisgaber kinegdam. Our chova, our obligation is to be strong, ulehis chazek, v'la'amod b'fneihem, to be strong in front of them. And that's why we know we have a Kohen Mashiach, appointed to give us a pep talk on the battlefield. If anybody's scared, you can leave now, but on the battlefield, you can't be scared. You can't start running away. It's going to cause everybody else to be in a difficult state. So the Sefer HaChinuch already counts, based on the Rambam, that there's an Isser. Here, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Yeshua individual pep talk. Right? After what just happened. Maybe Yeshua is still scared. Maybe they didn't root out all of the problems that Achan caused. Al tira v'al techas. He says, no, don't be scared. Kach imcha es kol amem milchama v'kam alei ha'ai. Take everybody with you. Even though they had thousands, they might not have needed everybody. Hashem says, take everybody with you. Let them see what's going to happen. V'yasisa la'ayu l'malka kasher asisa li'yericho l'malka. You will defeat Yericho, I, as you defeated Yericho. But here, Yeshua, don't make any rules. Let them take from the spoils. Rakshtalu behemta tavozu lachem. Right? Take from the spoils. Sim lacha ore va'ir me'achareha. And Hashem even tips off Yeshua, put some people behind, and in that way you will create a decoy. And in that way, lure them out of the city. It's amazing that Hashem says to this. The Mepharshim, the Alshach HaKadosh says, it's going to be a nes anyway. The whole thing is B'nai Yisrael using Teva, but it's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu involved too. Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved. So the question is, why did he even ask them to do this? So the answer could be based on Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says in Parshas Noach, a question that the Ramban deals with a little bit already, and that is, we know Hashem gave Noach the tzivui to build the Teva. If you do the math, you know exactly how long the Teva was. It was a miracle that all the animals fit on there. It was a miracle. No, all the animals in the world can't fit on that teva and live happily, and the food for the animals. It was impossible. The whole thing was a miracle. So why did Hashem command them to build a teva anyway? Right? The answer is because Nisim, this is Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav in Bereishis, or Rabbeinu Bachai says, Derech HaTorah, Litzavos Al HaAdam, Sheyaseh Kol B'Yecholto B'Derech HaTeva. Hashem commands man, do what you can, as far as naturally you can handle. U'mashe Yechzer HaTeva, B'hen Yashlem Anes. You build a big boat, whatever can't fit in, I'll take care of the rest, says God. I'll fill the rest with a miracle. Val derech zeh timsa b'chol anisim shebetorim tistakel b'hem. If you analyze all the nisim, there's a little teva, right? And a lot of miraculous. It was windy by Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem made a wind. Hashem could have split the sea without making a wind. Why does it say in B'Shalach Hashem made it windy? Because it starts off with Teva, and then it goes into Nes. Maybe to leave open a little Bechira Chafshis for people to even say, oh, it wasn't miraculous. So too here. The Mepharshim explain, that's why Hashem says, start off with Teva. I'm going to help you. I'm going to deal with Ai. I'm going to help them be scared and get them all out of the city. But Nisim start with a little hishtavus from a person and guarded and covered with Teva. Okay, so that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him the command to make an Orev, trick them, lure them out. And that's what Yeshua does. He puts thousands of men on the west side of Ai. Right, it says, Shloshim Alfeish, 30,000 soldiers went with Yeshua. He's put them out at night, and he took another 5,000 with him. He put some on the west side and some on the north side, and then Yeshua went, Pasuk Tes, Vayishlachem, Yeshua set them up, each at their stations, Vayelchol Amarav, Vayeshvu Bein Beit Elovein Ai, Miyam La'ai, right, they were to the west of Ai, Vayolen Yeshua Balayla Hahu, Betocha Am. Yeshua slept, stayed Betocha Am. What's Betocha Am? Rashi explains this is different than the first time. Remember we discussed in the last parak, one of the problems with Ai was possibly Yeshua didn't go first. Hashem says, I promise that you'll be in control, but as long as you go first, as Moshe Rabbeinu prophesized. Last time you sent men, it's not going to happen that way. Here, what did Yeshua do? He slept on the battlefield with them. He was going to be part of the battle, and that's why it was successful. The Netziv also notes that this is what Yaakov Avinu did. Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayishlach, when he's getting ready to meet Esav. The pasuk says, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Chav Beis, Vatavra Mincha Al Panav. Yaakov sends presents to Esav, V'hu Lon Balayla Hahu B'machane. And he sleeps in the machane. Very similar lashon. What is here? Vayalin Yeshua Balayla Hahu B'toch Ha'am. Almost the exact same lashon. The Netziv there in the Hemek Davar notes this parallel. And he quotes the Ramban, Lo Yashan Ba'ahalo B'mita. He didn't sleep on his bed at home, Kederach Ha'adon. El Yashan Im Avadav. B'machane al ha'aretz, he slept with his servants, just like Yeshua did. Shelo yashan ba'ol b'fnei atzmo k'derech ha'melach o'sar ha'tzava. He slept b'toch ha'am, because this one he wanted to feel, he wanted to be with the people. That's what happened. Good, so they wake up in the morning, and even before that, they gather them, they gather at night. It says b'toch ha'emek, Yeshua slept in Pasuk Yud Gimel. B'toch ha'emek, we had earlier, the Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel discusses, Sanhedrin Mem Dalet, that he spoke, he learned with them. Remember we had by Yericho, when the Malach Hashem came to Yeshua and says, you're being Mevatel Torah. Yeshua here again learns from his mistakes, and he learns with them even the night before on the battlefield. And then he starts attacking, or pretending to attack Ai. And the Psukim describe how the king of Ai sees, and he gathers. Everybody's like, oh, here they come again. Let's go get them. And Pasuk Tezva, Vayinagu Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael l'fnehem. They pretended to be hurt. They pretended, oh my goodness, Ai! And they start running away. And right when they all empty out, he gives the signal. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayomar Hashem Yoshua, Nete Bakidon, pick up your spear, Kibiyat Chetnena. I will give them to you right now. And that's what he does. And all of a sudden, the people of Ai turn around and their city is on fire. Their city is destroyed. And we have the beautiful line in Pasuk Chaf, V'ha'am Hanas Hamidbar, Nepach El Harodef. The Nirdaf becomes the Rodef. The all of a sudden, the one running away becomes the one running towards. Yeshua gets up and stops running away and starts running towards Ai. V'Yoshua v'chol Yisrael ra'u. Yeshua, all of Yisrael, sees that the city's in smoke, and they all surround Ai. Pasuk Chavez, v'yu Yisrael batavach eilemizeh, and they destroy them, v'yaku osam. There is a question based on a Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Milachim that there is an Isser d'Oraisa. Another mitzvah. There's a halacha that when you trap a city, when Bnei Yisrael trap a city, there are rules of engagement. There are rules of war. There's an Isser d'Oraisa to surround a city completely on all four sides. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Says the Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, in Hilchos Malachim. Kishet Sarin al Ir Latafsa, when you go and are entrapping a city, Ein Makifin Osamei Baruchoseha. Don't surround it on all four sides. Ela Mishalosh Ruchoseha, three sides. Umeinichin makom leboreach. Leave them a way to run away. Ulachomi sheyirtza limaleid on nafsho. Leave a way to run away. Interestingly, the Meshech Chachma on Chumash says, what's the svar for this? He says, because when people have their backs to the wall, they fight harder. When they feel that they have no chance, this is it, there's no brera, they fight harder. If you leave them a way out, they won't fight as hard and they'll run away. Right, sometimes you have in Lahavdil, not Lahavdil so much, but if you have in a game, you have a series, you have to win best of seven. So sometimes, if a team is down, you know, they're down to their last game, then they'll kill themselves and fight. If they still have another game to lose, it's not as urgent. So the Meshech Chachma says that's the tam ha-mitzvah behind this, never surround them on all four sides. But the question is, it sounds like here in Pasuk Chav Beis, that they were surrounded on all four sides. The Malbim says Betherish. They surrounded all of the ploys that they had put out, all of the traps they put out. They had surrounded Ai on all sides, and now they're gonna defeat them. Isn't that an Avera? It's an Isser d'Oraisa. Yeshua ben Nun can't violate that. So a couple of answers. The Radvaz on the Rambam, right here, in the Hilchos Malachim says, well, maybe it does not apply to the seven Amamin, the seven nations that we have to conquer in Eretz Canaan, so it doesn't apply to them. Or another suggestion is that it doesn't apply to Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Reshus, a voluntary Melchama. David HaMelech wants to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, so then you have rules. But where it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, you're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, even does that's different. That's different. You're allowed to. Right? That's what the another suggestion is given based on the Chinuch. The Chinuch says the Isser only applies to a Melchemes Reshus and not a Melchemes Mitzvah. I saw in the Kamotzi Shalal Rav, which is they have one on Yeshua and Shoftim. Finally got one. Kamotzi Shalal Rav. He quotes the Hadras Kodesh, who suggests maybe there's a difference between self-defense and attacking. When Bnei Yisrael attack, so then they have to leave a wall open. But if they're self-defense, if they're finally have the enemy surrounded, but it started at self-defense, so then they're allowed to surround on all four sides because you have to get rid of them. It's self-defense. So it's even meduyik in the psukim. Because originally, if you look in Pasuk Tes earlier, it says, Vayishbu bein beit delavena ai miyam la'ai. They're on the west side of ai. They're on the east side of ai. They originally didn't, Yeshua didn't put people on all four sides because now they were going to attack B'nai Yisrael. Once I start running out, so now B'nai Yisrael need to self-defend themselves. And once they start self-defending themselves, now they can surround them on all four sides, and that's what the Psukim say, it only occurs later. And that's why even later on it says, in Pasuk of Ayir Defu Acharei Yisrael, only after they fight against us and they run out, now it's self-defense, now we can surround on all four sides. So three answers to the question of how do you fit this Rambam into the Psukim? Number one, maybe the seven Amamin of Canaan are different. Number two, maybe this is a Melchemes Mitzvah and it's different. Number three, maybe there's a difference between self-defense and attacking, because the Rambam's Lashon, Kishet Tsar Al-Ir, when you go to attack, that's when it is limited. Okay, so they defeat Ai, and they take the king, and they kill the king. They grab him, Vayehi, and it says, how many people of Ai were killed that day? 12,000. The Yoshua Pasachavav. The Yoshua lo heshiv yado, asher nata bakidon, ad asher echrem is kol yoshvei ha'ai. Yoshua did not, remember, Yoshua put up his sword for the signal. He didn't put his hand down all day. What does this remind us of? The pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, that Moshe Rabbeinu fighting Amalek didn't put his hand down all day. And remember the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chavtes. What does the Mishnah say? When Bnei Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu's hands up, then they were mechavenes libam leviyim shem shemayim, that made them think of Hashem, and therefore they were able to be successful. When Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down, then they weren't. So that's why Moshe kept his hands up. And the Chazal even say that Aaron and Hur held his hands up to help him. Can't keep your arms up the whole day. So Yeshua ben Nun, in a parallel scene, right? Yeshua following Moshe in many parallels. Yeshua ben Nun did not put his hands down with his sword until the battle was complete. Until it was complete, exactly like what happened in the times of Moshe. Vayistrof Yeshua's eye, then Yeshua takes care of business. They burn the whole city. Tel olam shmama arayom hazeh. And the king of Ai, who so much wanted to kill the Jews, he kills Talal Eitzadeis Erev, he hangs on a tree, and right before nightfall, he takes him down, and they cover him with stones. Why did they take him down right before nighttime? Before nighttime, they hung him up. So why? Says the Radak, it's a halacha. It's a pasuk in Gisaitse. The halacha is Lo Salin Nivla Soala Eitz. We know when Bezdin puts somebody to death. In certain cases, maybe it's only Megadev, somebody who cursed God in public, right? There are a few cases, that they also are hanged. But we have to bury them before Shkia. That's the Pasuk. The Radak relates this mitzvah to this case. Yeshua ben Nun followed the halacha. You're not allowed to leave somebody hanging during the night, overnight, and therefore he took it and buried him. It is, though, not so clear whether this was obligatory upon Yeshua. Yeshua did it. But the Ramban notes in Kitzeitze, does this apply to non-Jews also? Right, to an anti-Semite murderer of Jews that wanted to kill us all? The same halachas of Losala, Nivaz, or Lais, you can't leave him hanging. Right, it applies to Jews. But does it apply to non-Jews also? So that is not 100% clear. The Meshech Chachma says maybe it applies to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Kedusha of the land of Eretz Yisrael requires one not to go at night without burial. As we know, in Eretz Yisrael, the Minhag Olam, Minhag in Eretz Yisrael, is to bury as fast as possible. Bury as fast as possible. We do burials at night, we do burials 2 hours later. In the Chutz La'aretz, it's much more delayed and much more, besides the fact that cemeteries are closed at night legally. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's much more. It's not just because they're more focused on the mitzvah and on the covet of the mace, but because it's the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that is rampant, that is felt throughout the land, and even a non-Jew's body in Eretz Yisrael has different halachas. Again, the mitzvah of kvura is something that we could talk about a lot, not for mention now, but we know there's a mitzvah daraisa of kvura. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes it, Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Rambam quotes it, in mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph, Likvar Mishanidla Bayamahu. It's a mitzvah in general to bury people. Okay, Let's continue. Says the, now we are up to the last section of the Perek, which is a crucial section. Uz, Pasuk Lamed. Uz Yivne Yeshua Mizbeach Lashem Elokei Yisrael. Then, Yeshua built a Mizbeach on Har Eval. He built a Mizbeach on Har Eval. The Rashi and the Radah both quote Chazal, the Gemara, that says, Ein Mukta Mumuchar Batorah. There is no chronological, the Torah is not written in chronological order. So here we're saying, neither is Navi. Navi is not written in chronological order. This story really happened the day they crossed the Yarden. The day they crossed the Yarden, they went through, miraculously, it's 50 miles. 50 miles away, but miraculously, they were taken to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, up north, by Shechem, and they did this whole ceremony, splitting up the Am, six Shvatim on one mountain, six Shvatim on the bottom of the other mountain, and they said the brachas to one mountain, the klalos to the other mountain, as is described in Parshas Kisavo. So that occurred really, Rashi and the Radak both say, on the day that they crossed the Yarden. And then they came back, and then they fought Yericho, and then they fought Ai. The question is, even if you say that, you always have to have a reason. What can we learn from the fact? Why didn't the Navi just write it chronologically? Why do we have this right afterwards? We went there, and then we came back. So various suggestions given why it was written out of order. The Musar HaNevi'im has one suggestion. Why it might be written out of order, he says, maybe to explain, can look at his words, to explain why the king of Ai was held accountable. Right, you saw these unbelievable miracles. But these unbelievable miracles before you. You saw Bnei Yisrael fly to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. You saw the walls of Yericho come down. And you're still going to fight Klal Yisrael. You still think that you're going to be able to defeat them. So maybe that's the emphasis, to juxtapose it right in the story. Right after we punish Ai, we're going to make sure nobody thinks that they were undeserving. Right, they were deserving. But if you look in the Malbim says, against Chazal, the Malbim says you can interpret these psukim as being where they're supposed to be. Because the Malbim says, if you look very closely in Parshas Kisavo, right, what is commanded, says the Malbim. It's the psukim. It's not the Malbim, but it's the psukim. In Kisavo, there are two commands. There are two commands given by Moshe to Yoshua. First it says, Vahaya, Bayo Masher Tavura Tayardain, the day that you cross the Yarden, build stones and write the Torah, Vahulu. And then, later on, Vahaya, the next pasuk, Ba'avrachem es Hayarden, when you pass the Yarden, so Chazal assume it's the same thing, build stones. Says the Malbim, no, what does the first pasuk say? Biyo Masher Tavura Tayardain. That was done already. They put stones up in the Yarden afterwards in Gilgal. This now, the Har Gerizim Har Eval, it doesn't say on the day of. It says, Ba'avrachem, when you pass over and you get there in a couple of days. Takimos Avanim Eile, right, on Har Eval, Vasadot Amasid, and you build a Mizbeach. Says the Malbim, you don't have to say that Navi is written out of order. No, it's straight. There's two separate Sivuyim that Yeshua Ben Nun is commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But either way, so it's a Malbim. The Malbim says what he says. You can read the Pesukim Kipshuto. Chazal say, though, that it should have been written earlier, but it really happened earlier. But it's written here. Let's continue. What did he do? Kashasiva Moshe Eved Hashem Otz Bnei Yisrael. He built the Mizbeach, drew the Mizbeach like Moshe commanded him. What type of Mizbeach? Avanim Shlemos. Whole stones, Ashalohenif Aleim Barzel, not yun. We know you're not allowed to use any cut stones for the Mizbeach. You have to find stones that were never cut. Metal, never touch these stones. Why? Chazal tell us, because metal, the ultimate use of metal in those days was the sword. The sword is used to shorten a person's life. The Mizbeach is used to lengthen the person's life, to achieve atonement and kapara. So it's inappropriate to connect metal, a sword, on a stone that's used for the Mizbeach. So that's why we're not allowed to use cut stones on the Mizbeach. This is also one of the reasons that we know there is a minhag, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that when someone, one should not bench when the knife is on the table. When the cutting knife, the challah knife, is on the table, one shouldn't bench. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Tuf Kuf, in Kuf Pei. In Kuf Pei. But, no, he says, Noagin l'chasos asakin b'shas bir chazamazin. The minhag is to cover the knife. Why? Because benching is the ultimate mitzvah that you do at your table. Your table gives you long life. You do a lot of mitzvahs at your table, hachnasas, archim, etc. The knife symbolizes shortening of life, as we just said. And it's inappropriate to have the knife connected. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, why haven't we ever heard of this? Because most of us only eat challah and have a challah knife there on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch says, the minhag is that you don't have to worry about it on Shabbos and Yontif. You don't have to worry about this. Nagu shelo lachasosu b'Shabbos v'Yontif. Maybe Shabbos and Yontif itself is a protection, is something that brings us arichas yamim. But the fascinating, the Beis Yosef quotes today is, what's the reason for covering the knife? What's the reason for covering the knife by benching? So the first one is I just mentioned Barzel Makatzer Yimei HaAdam Veino Badishi Munach Al Shulchan Shadom Al Mizbeach. The Shulchan, you know, was domed to the Mizbeach. Meant that's why you always have to have salt on your table, because it's like the Mizbeach always had salt on it. But the knife is shortening, the table is lengthening. Inappropriate to put them together. But I've quoted many times in the past the second day in the Beis Yosef, and that is the Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha quotes that there was one time in history, somebody who was benching, he got up to Uvenei Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, Bonei Brachma, build Yerushalayim. He got so upset that he didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, he took the knife and he stabbed himself, says Rabbeinu Simcha. And therefore, we shouldn't have the knife on the table when we bench. That's the Beis Yosef. Ask the Bali Musar. Because there was one crazy guy in history that stabbed himself during benching, so forevermore we're not allowed to have the knife on the table? So the answer is no. We're not supposed to remember it that way. We're supposed to remember that there was somebody who felt so emotionally attached to the Beis HaMikdash. Look how emotional he was. Not that that's a goal. Chas v'shalom, it's a terrible avera. But we should realize there were people who felt so strongly about wanting the Beis HaMikdash, about wanting the Beis HaMikdash back. But it's all related to this halacha also, that no yun stones. And what happened, let's just finish up, Yeshua built the Mizbeach, and he also wrote the whole Torah on stones. What does it mean, the whole Torah? Either there are da quotes, maybe it means the whole Torah, maybe it just means the list of 613 mitzvos. That's what Rav Sadigon says. They wrote it in many different languages, and then they went through the tekes, the ceremony that is described. Half the Shvatim are on the foot of Har Grizim, half the Shvatim are on the foot of Har Eval, and Yeshua ben Nun reads, goes through the brachas and the klalos, and reads the Torah to the men, women, children, and gerim. Everybody is there listening to the Torah. One final line, and that is the last line where it says, the gerim were there. What gerim? The Radak says it must be that every stage so far along the line, people came and converted because they saw what was going on with Klal Yisrael. V'amar ha'olech, shayu mizgairim min ha'umos, b'chol ma'aseihem, mifnei ha'niflos, shayu shomim v'roim. It must be throughout history, throughout these past 40 years, right? The Bnei Yisrael would pass the nation and they would see the Mun and the Be'er and they would be inspired. Whoa, I want to be a Jew. By Yericho, I want to be a Jew. So they all came. There is a machlokas in the Gemara, in Yevamos, Daf Chaf Dalet, whether you're allowed to accept converts like that. Converts that want to become Jewish because the Jews are amazing, or on top of the world. You know, come to us when we're on the bottom of the world. But the Radak, on the last pasuk, says where these Gerim came from. They came every stop along the way. There were people who joined our religion. Okay, we'll stop here. So Baruch Hashem, we've made it through Yericho. We have made it through Ai. And coming up, we will have to do the story of the Givonim. The Givonim are coming up in the coming Prakim.